is a celery die. Extra!
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? We had a waiter at Carrabba's a few blocks away, and this guy had a personality and a style, and he changed his name to Fabian. Hi, I'm Fabian. I'll be your waiter. It's not my real name, but... And the guy was, like, totally cool. So one night, I go there... And I'm with my buddy Nikita Koloff, the old wrestler, and two other wrestlers, Sting and Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
The Million Dollar Man.
And he comes. This fan, Fabian comes over to our table and he goes, "Now, I assume everyone here is over 21. Let me go over." The guy was just on fire and everyone gave that guy a pile of money.
Yeah. Personality goes a long way.
Oh. Yes, it does.
Oh,
yes,
yeah. It, does. It gets you the extra few bucks. Yeah, every single time it gets you the extra few bucks.
Exactly. And every single time turns out to be a law. And it turns out to be a lot of times if you're willing to do that.
But let me throw something out. Let's look at the reverse of that. You go to somebody's table, you're a waiter or server, and you give lousy service or perfunctory service, and you get a shit tip. The odds are you're going to go home and complain to your spouse, whomever he or she is, that the customers at your place are lousy tippers.
Yeah.
You're going to blame the other person for your inability to serve with a smile.
Yep.
Unreal. So I have definitely created two different benchmarks within the framework of selling. You either blame other people for your circumstance or you take responsibility for what happens to you. So the guy wouldn't return my call. Seriously? Why?
Yeah.
Because the voicemail you left sucked or had no value to it, or the guy didn't like you to begin with, or the guy doesn't want to do business with you. But don't blame the guy. I just saw one of my quotes up on Instagram. Someone had requoted me. When the customer says they're not interested, it means you're not interesting.
Yep.
And so you take the responsibility, like, dude, the guy said he wasn't interested. Seriously? No. You were boring. Or you were saying something that they couldn't relate to in any way, shape, or form, and they said, not interested, or go away, or whatever else. You know, in New York, it's a whole different response. But the casual Midwestern response would be not interested. And I tell salespeople, if you're not going to take responsibility for what is said to you or what happens to you, you're not going to win. You're just flat-ass not going to win, plain and simple.
Yeah. And move on, right?
Yeah. So I learned the pitch. I would go into a big CEO's office and say, hey, do you want to buy now or you want to hear the pitch? And it caught the guy completely off guard. And he would say, well, we're probably going to do something. I'd say, great, let's go eat. Why should I try to sell a guy that's already bought?
Right.
And... Right. If you do something that where you take a little bit of a risk, it's not that big of a risk. If you take a little bit, and the higher the level of the person, the more risk you can take, because they've seen everything, they've seen everyone.
You probably need to take more risks. It's not that you just think you need to.
Yeah, and have a good time at it. Like, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to have a good time at it till the day I drop dead. If it ever becomes work for me, I'm leaving. I don't like work.
The interesting thing is, as complicated as selling can get, at its fundamental elements, it's very binary. It's in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and it's a yes or no deal. Yeah.
Well, it's a yes or no deal. But then at the end of the day, it's well, he wasn't interested. Well, that's because I wasn't interesting. That's why. Like, let's go back to that. And is it really just? I mean, there's a lot of browbeaten salespeople out there who just slog through every day, and you know they know it's tough, and they just tell themselves that story, and then it kind of perpetuates itself. And then there's the person that takes responsibility for why they weren't interesting.
Exactly.
Why don't more people get that?
Well, here's the deal, and the reason is they're handed shit. Like you're handed a sales plan or a sales quota. Where did that come from? Well, someone pulled it out of their ass and figured out that we need 28 of this and 52 of this. And then you make a goal to achieve their goal, and you do it begrudgingly. Mm-hmm. So you start out on a negative path to try to get to some place where you don't really want to be or go. And the sales leader will say, you're not making enough sales. And I'm going to challenge the sales leader to say, Bob, you're not earning enough money. Because if I put it in terms of the person, they're going to respond to that. If I try to put it in terms of the company, they're going to fight it.
Yep.
So
well,
I
talk about modeling behavior too.
Yeah, right? I want to try to be in harmony with people, not opposed to them.
Yeah.
And I think it's very important that in any sales job, you have to love what you do. You have to be inspired by what you do. You have to feel for what you do. And there has to be an ability for the salesperson to emotionally engage the prospect. I'm going to give you an example. You walk into a home subdivision and you're looking to buy a home. And it's a $150,000, $250,000, $500,000 purchase. And you're greeted by somebody at the door. And the way they question you is going to determine whether you want to stay there or not. Plain and simple. Do you have a house to sell? What brings you in today? Do you have a mortgage at the moment? Have you ever missed a payment? And I'm like, what are you asking me this shit for? I want to buy a house. Oh, I'm just trying to help you. No, dude, you're trying to qualify me. Mm-hmm. Don't qualify anybody. So let's say the customer walks into my home and they're looking to buy a $500,000 home. I'm going to say, before I go through anything with you, I have one question that I'd like to ask each of you. Let's have a cup of coffee and talk about it. Mrs. Jones, tell me about the bedroom that you grew up in. Hmm. What's going to happen to Mrs. Jones?
She's going to light up like a Christmas tree.
Right. Is she going to remember her brother, her sister, her mom and dad if they're still alive? All the memories of that flood into your head, and I immediately have an emotional engagement. Then I'm going to ask Mr. Jones about the bedroom that he grew up in, and then I'm going to say, is this the kind of bedroom that you want for Bobby? Now they need a cup of coffee. Because they're crying. I have emotionally engaged them to a point where they can't wait to see my bedroom. Yeah. Now I'm going to take them on a home tour. And I'm going to walk into the big bedroom upstairs and say, this is the master bedroom. It's 16 by 19. Really? No shit. I don't believe you. Let's have a tape measure. Because if you're a liar, I'm leaving. It better be exactly 16 by 19. Or you can walk into the master bedroom and say, will all of your furniture fit in here? Where would you put the TV? And then you ask the woman question, because you walk into a closet and you can either say, this is a walk-in closet, to which I would say, no shit. You mean you can walk in and walk out? No, I'm going to turn to the woman and say, will all of your clothing fit in here? Because if it won't, that house is out.
Right. And every house like it without a bigger closet
is that out. Correct, Chrissy?
Okay. Yeah.
So I want you to understand that there is a way to question people that will not insult their intelligence, but rather will engage them emotionally. And that's one of the secrets of selling that most salespeople don't get, because they get their questions from marketing people. Mm. So take
or they
your,
get questions like that, and then they're not intuitive enough to connect.
They have emotion. No connection.
Yeah.
In fact, they have disdain. A classic true story of a friend of mine here in Charlotte who was working for a land development company. He called me up to tell me that he wanted to buy a house in our neighborhood, and he called a realtor and said, I'm looking to buy a house in Dilworth. And the real estate agent said, do you have a house for sale? And my friend hung up.
Well,
bought a house from somebody else and referred 10 people to him.
Yeah.
Because the guy didn't say, do you have a house for sale? What's your budget? Do you have a mortgage? None of that kind of crap.
Right.
Rather, the guy said, tell me about your ideal home. This has been a Seller Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to gittimerlearningacademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher and come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.